On October 25th, just weeks before Sudan's military was supposed to hand over control of the transitional government to civilian leadership, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan seized control in a military coup and declared a state of emergency. The military dissolved the joint civilian-military government and arrested Prime Minister Hamdok. Protesters have taken to the streets to denounce the coup, but security forces have responded forcefully, killing at least 15 people and injuring hundreds at the time of recording. Joining me now to discuss this is Sudan's ambassador to the United States, Nuruddin Santi. Thank you so much for joining me, sir.
No, thank you very much for having me.
So on October 28th, 3 days after General Burhan dissolved the government, you look on state-run Sudan TV, and there's an announcement that you have been fired from your position. Are you still ambassador to the United States?
Very firmly so, because I have been fired by an illegal, illegitimate government. Actually, the decision of, firing me came from the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, who does not have the right to fire me, to fire any ambassador or diplomat. It's for this reason that I do not recognize that action.
General Burhan claims he ousted the government to avoid, quote, a civil war, he says. He says the dangers we witnessed last week could have led the country into civil war. Is there any truth to that?
I do not think so, frankly. He should have told us between who and whom. We do not know exactly who are the parties of this civil war. And frankly, I think on the contrary, this act might lead to a civil war if it continues for too long.
Between whom?
Between the people and those who are carrying the arms, who are want to enforce a military rule in Sudan.
The reason I ask that is because there have been multiple forces at play for a while now. It was a bit surprising when you said you expected everything but this when the coup happened. But there have been several coup attempts since 2019, including one just in September. What's prompting all of these different takeovers, these attempts to take over the government?
Well, the most recent one, or the last one, was prompted by the fear of, handing over control of the government to the civilians for a couple of reasons. The first one is accountability. We know that there have been some crimes that have been committed in the past, and there are investigations which are ongoing on these crimes. And I think some of the military feared that this might turn against them. The other one, the investigations was going on issues of, the assets of the state and how they are governed and how they are managed and some issues related to that. So there was the fear also this might turn against them also.
What role does Prime Minister Hamdok play in this? I mean, he had some pretty unpopular policies. For example, adopting IMF reforms like slashing fuel subsidies. The country has been suffering from medicine, wheat shortages, and inflation has topped 400%. To what extent have these moves fueled the popular discontent?
Well, there has no popular discontent per se.
I mean, there have been anti-government protests going on at least a week before the coup, so clearly there was some discontent.
Well, of course, but it turned out that the same military who pretend now to redress the course of things have been withholding, many of these things. Do you know that the prices of fuel and bread and all that have fallen, dramatically in the last week? And supplies have been coming from all directions, despite the blockade on Port Sudan. That means there have been some hoarding intentionally being done in order to put the government in difficulty.
Can two things be true at the same time? Can the military have been holding things back for the purpose of fueling popular discontent, but also the prime minister had policies that were clearly unpopular that prompted protests?
Well, I have to say that the civilian government could have done better. There's no doubt about that. But you should not forget that it turned out that some key members of the government are siding with the coup, including the Minister of Finance. Now he's handing half of the assets of the central bank to the armed forces. And it is a matter, you know, of real concern. Yes, there were failings of the civilian government. There is no doubt about that. And this was to be expected anyway. We knew that the situation was not going to be redressed. I wrote a book, actually, 2 years ago, saying that the situation will not be distressed within the next 5 years, because we knew what we inherited, the legacy from the past regime was horrific, and it will take a long time in order to redress that.
You mentioned the armed forces. Sudanese armed forces shut down the internet and other telecommunications shortly after the coup. This happened in 2019 as well. When that happened, state security forces opened fire and killed scores of protesters and injured many others in Khartoum. Do you worry that something like this will repeat itself?
Of course. Unfortunately and regrettably, they do not seem to have changed their ways. The same dealings of the former regime of al-Bashir that has been toppled by a popular, you know, uprising are coming back again. And this is really to be regretted. We thought that we have left all that behind us.
One of the challenges, though, is the relationship between those loyalists from the Bashir days who still remain as part of a transitional government. Now, during the previous coup attempt, your government blamed elements loyal to Omar al-Bashir. And the question is, how are some of those allies who were accused of grave human rights abuses by multiple organizations, by multiple facets, even allowed to be part of this transitional government?
Well, that's a good question. You know, at a certain moment in history, when you want to move forward, you have to compromise. And it was not easy to compromise. I was part of this dialogue in the beginning. Should we allow those elements to be part of the transitional institutions, or should we not do that? But at the end of the day, for the stability and security of the country, the decision was to allow them to be part of the institutions, the transition institutions, because we knew very well that the balance of power at that time was not in the favor of the civilians, and that we need to redress it gradually as we move towards a more normalized situation.
If you could reconsider that decision now, would you still include former Bashir allies in a transitional government?
I would still do that, but I would immediately take measures that would allow us to continue working together.
Like what?
The issue of dealing with civil-military relations and the issue of accountability and transitional justice. I think those are key.
Some protesters have not trusted military involvement in the transitional government. They've called for full civilian rule. Is there any possibility, in your estimation, of a government of full civilian rule?
There is this possibility, provided that we find a way of associating the military by being part of the state institutions, but realizing that they are not going to be the ones who are be calling the shots, that they will be there to protect the transition, not to control it. And there is a difference between those.
Is that possible? Given the history, given the backdrop, given who's in, who comprises this military, is that possible to negotiate something like that?
I think we should be able to negotiate that and go back. Well, the first thing to do is to get out of this situation and find a deal which would make us start a real dialogue on issues and see how to handle them. And then gradually move into this second phase, which is seeing how they can accept to be part of the deal without controlling it.
Given the large number of mobilizations and protests, is the coup a done deal? Is it over?
The coup is over. I do not think that coup is sustainable. It cannot continue with the mobilization that we have seen and that we are going to see in the next days and weeks if it continues. I do not think it's sustainable. They cannot govern the country. They cannot have stability. They will never rest, and the people will continue mobilizing and putting pressure on them, of course, in coordination with the regional and international community.
In your estimation, I know diplomats don't love predictions, but a month from now, where will Sudan be?
Sudan, a month from now, will be back more or less in where it was under the 25th of October. And there was going very tough negotiations in order to see how we can continue working together with the military. That would be my prediction.
Nuruddin, thank you so much for joining me on Upfront.
Thank you, Mark.
Absolutely.
Well appreciated.